There's been a lot of buzz about the recent flap between film directors Clint Eastwood and Spike Lee. It all started when Lee, who's making a World War II movie about black soldiers, criticized Eastwood for not including African Americans in his World War II movies, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima.
He did two films by Iwo Jima back to back, and there was not one black soldier in both of those films. His vision of Iwo Jima, Negro soldiers, did not exist. Simple as that, you know? I have a different version.
There are people of color in the Eastwood pictures, namely Japanese soldiers and a Native American, but many agree with Spike Lee that the big screen often doesn't seem to have enough room for African Americans. One of those critics is with us now, 85-year-old Thomas McFadder, a former Marine sergeant, now spends his days at a daycare center in California. He was a 40-year-old Texan in active duty for the U.S. Marines when he found himself heading towards the beach on Iwo Jima in February of 1945, and he joins us now. Mr. McFadder, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, first off, I want to thank you for your service, and I understand that you have seen the Clint Eastwood movies, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. I was wondering what you thought about them.
Well, as far as the production was concerned, what it attempted to do, I guess they achieved that. But as far as it really telling the story, I felt that it had done as most of the other movies on Iwo Jima. It had omitted blacks in the movie, and I saw two scenes where they had dubbed a picture of some blacks near the movie, just a group of them. But I was in the actual battle of Iwo Jima as an ammunition technician. And because wars cannot be fought without ammunition, my presence was more than required. And when it became necessary to defend the positions that the Marines were holding, the riflemen, it was my position to defend the position. And I had been taught how to fire all of the small arms that were necessary in that kind of close combat.
So it seems, though, as you're explaining that you were an ammunition technician and had other duties, that it wasn't as if there was no role for you or other African Americans in that combat.
When you are in combat and bullets are coming and explosions are everywhere and the smell of gunpowder and death is in your nostrils, bullets don't take time to find out whether you're black or white. So we were doing whatever anyone else was doing. We just were not a part of a rifle platoon. We were classified as ammunition handlers.
What exactly does that mean? What did you do specifically?
Well, we were there because Mary McLeod Bethune and Eleanor Roosevelt had gone to President Roosevelt and felt that in view of his equal employment laws that he should take some blacks into the Marine Corps and into the Navy. We had not been admitted to the Navy or the Marine Corps until 1942. And when he agreed, he started this camp at Northford, Carolina, called Monford Point. Now, all black troops in the Corps were to be trained there, and it was a part of the written order of the Commandant that blacks would train blacks and control blacks. They would not control any unit in which there were white troops. They would not be given a place where they had to give orders.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of treatment did African-American troops face in World War II?
Well, the way we started, it was a joy for us. even though we were fighting a war on two fronts, the home front and on the battlefield.
What do you mean, on the home front and the battlefield?
We had to fight for the right to fight. We were not admitted in the Marine Corps. We had to fight to get in the Marine Corps. And then we had to fight to defend the positions and do whatever we were called to do. Does that explain it?
Yes, it does, sir.
Okay.
You've talked a little bit about it, but can you talk a bit more about your experience at Iwo Jima? What was that like?
My experience on Iwo Jima, I will try if my voice lasts and my memory holds out. I was scared to death, to minimize it. But being a non-commissioned officer, I could not show any fear because I was there to direct and lead. And my fear I had to muffle.
Well, why was it so fearful to you? What were you afraid of?
What was I afraid of? Number one, I was afraid of dying. But you don't have fear of time to think about dying. Hearing men die and watching them scream and holler and watching them torn apart by shells and no place to hide, no place to seek cover. And Iwo Jima was called a hot rock, but it wasn't hot rock. It was hot sand, sand from a volcano. And if you dug 18 inches underground, you got smoking, smoking soil. And in some places, we dug up parts of bodies that the Japanese had tried to bury in their quickest escape from wherever they were locked into. So seeing these body parts and smelling these body parts and seeing these big armored flies who wouldn't allow you to eat whatever lunch you had, they wanted to take it from you. You having to pick these things from your body. It made me afraid because I didn't know there was no place for me to go. When the shells came in, the only thing I could do was try and find a hole big enough with my helmet where I could stick my head into it and wait for my round because you didn't know where it was coming from on Iwo Jima.
Before the recent dust-up between filmmakers Clint Eastwood and Spike Lee, McFadden wrote a letter to Eastwood. He took issue with the exclusion of African-American servicemen in Eastwood's World War II films, and I asked him how the inclusion of those stories would have changed the film.
Oh, well, just speaking offhand, if we had been given the opportunity to have participated as I feel we should have, I can see nothing more than a greater illustrious performance of black troopers. Wherever that happened and wherever they were allowed, that's how it came out. In all of their involvement in battles during World War II. They didn't get in the Marine Corps to get on a plantation. They got in to fight for rights that they did not have back home. And hopes that it would make a different world for them once they came back home.
Do you think it made a difference?
It made a difference because enough time had passed where men could see who were together the stupidity of basing certain assumptions on color. And in fact, I had a very enlightening experience at the side of Suribachi, watching a Japanese clawing his way out of the sides of the mountain from under the ground, being swamped by napalm, which was being shot up in the area. And he came out with napalm all over him, his head, his body, and its floating stuff. And the American Marines saw him like that, and they were lacking down on him like flies on sugar, trying to give him American blood plasma and keep him alive. Well, it struck me, why would we be so anxious to give this man American blood, keep him alive, if he was so different than we were? We had been told that he was a monkey, he was a gook, every way. Make you hate him, so you kill him. And I said, can't be that much different. When I get back to the station, I'm going to look up the differences in blood. And when I got back to Hawaii, I looked it up. I found that there were only 4 major differences in blood type in the world. Were you black, brown, red, slant eyes, big eyes, regardless to how you look or where you come from or what your diet is. God has made all of us, made of all of us, one flesh.
Mr. McFadder, you said that you had written to Mr. Eastwood about your experience.
Yes, when I learned that Mr. Eastwood was going to write a movie screen on the Flags of Our Fathers, because I had read the book, I wrote Clint Eastwood an email asking him not to commit the offense so many others had. There were 5 major movies already about Iwo Jima, and none of them reflected the black participation in a favorable way on any part of Iwo Jima. And I felt it was un-American and a discredit to black people, and really a thing which should not be repeated.
Did you get a response from Mr. Eastwood?
I received a response that they were making the movie and that my letter would be taken into consideration. That's all I heard, and that's the only response I've had until today.
Thomas McFadder is a former Marine Corps sergeant who fought the battle at Iwo Jima, and he joined us from El Cajon, California. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.